We've said yes to God. We've said yes to serving Him, yes to His promises, and yes to His word concerning our lives. Now it's time to say yes to others. It's time to say yes to valuing others, encouraging others, and lifting each other up. It's time to say yes to blessing others. It's time to start becoming yes people.
The atmosphere in the auditorium was thick with anticipation as the crowd and the contestants waited eagerly to find out who would be crowned Miss World 2019. Years of preparation and months of competition had brought young ladies from all over the world to this stage in London for this very moment. And now the competition was down to the final three contestants: Miss Jamaica, Miss Brazil, and Miss Nigeria. The three finalists stood side by side, waiting to hear which of them would wear the crown. The MC stepped forward to the microphone and said, "Miss World 2019 is Jamaica." The crowd went wild. Miss Jamaica looked shocked and stunned. But the most amazing reaction of all came from Miss Nigeria. Having just heard that she'd lost the competition, you would think she would be disappointed. Having just heard that her rival won, you would think she would smile weakly and clap half-heartedly. But Miss Nigeria did what no one expected. She started jumping and screaming and clapping for joy. She was so excited to hear that Miss Jamaica had won the competition, and she celebrated her competitor's success enthusiastically. In fact, Miss Nigeria's reaction is so amazing, I want you to see it for yourself. So we're going to play a clip of that very moment. Watch Miss Nigeria on the right in the green dress. Here we go.
And Miss World 2019 is...
Singh from Jamaica is crowned Miss World 2019.
Is that amazing? Did you see her? Give it up for Miss Nigeria. Hey! Such realistic enthusiasm. You know, in today's world, it's very hard to find someone who will celebrate anybody else's success. But it's even more rare to find someone who will celebrate the success of their competitor. But the level of joy from Miss Nigeria was remarkable. She was truly happy that her rival won. And in her remarkable response, there's a lesson for all of us today. For you see, just like Miss Nigeria, God wants us to rejoice with those who rejoice. God wants us to love others the same way we would want to be loved. He's calling all of us to be yes people who believe in others, who boost others, and who bless others. And that's the powerful message inside our sermon this morning, a sermon entitled Align with Yes People. We're going to discover by the grace of God how we can all be like Miss Nigeria and become yes people. But before we go on, let's bow our heads and pray. Almighty and everlasting Father, we thank you that you have created each and every one of us as unique and special individuals. We were knit in our mother's womb by your loving hand. You created us to look the way we do, to have the talents that we do, and to fulfill our unique destiny. Help us today to realize we're not competing with others. We're simply living for an audience of one, our loving Heavenly Father. We ask today as we submit to you that you bind every voice of the enemy. We take authority over every spirit that would come to deceive or disturb or distract us. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, I loose the power of the Holy Spirit, the power to give us light and truth, the power to give us the grace to obey, the power to become yes people aligned with our yes God. We thank you that at the end of the day, your name will be glorified, our lives will be transformed, and people around us will be blessed because you worked a yes work in us. We thank you by faith in Jesus' name, and everybody said, yes. I want to invite you to take a moment and pray along with me. Join your faith with mine. Put your hand on your chest and say after me, Lord Jesus, speak to my heart. Change my life. Manifest your glory in me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, good morning once again. Welcome to Agape House. It's great to have you here today on this very first Sunday in February. If you're joining us online today, a big welcome to you. We trust that the power and the presence of the Lord will touch you right where you are. Of course, if you're ever in Accra, don't hesitate to join us in person here at Agape Land. All of us together promise that a warm welcome awaits you. Well, by the grace of God, you picked a great Sunday to be at Agape House. First of all, it's the first Sunday of February. This is a leap month in a leap year because God is going to leap you into a new realm. If you believe it, say yes. But you've also picked a great Sunday because it's the final Sunday in our sermon series, Yes. You know, God gave us the theme of yes for this year, centered around 2 Corinthians 1, 19 and 20. And for the last 6 weeks, we've been looking at what this means to us and how to explore and practicalize the deeper truths of yes. But you see, by the grace of God, God is a yes God. The Bible tells us Jesus is God's ultimate yes. He doesn't waver between yes and no. He always does what he says. All his promises are yes. And when we respond to the yes God with our yes, it brings him glory and we tap into the power of the yes God. And when we do that, we start to live the yes life. We activate yes faith. We accomplish yes goals. We affirm yes words. And that brings us to today's truth. See, there's one final lesson we need to learn to live the yes life, and it's this. To live the yes life, you have to align with yes people. Now, to help us discover how to do that today, we've printed sermon notes. They're inside your bulletin. They look like this, and I invite you to take them out now and follow along with me as we discover three signs of yes people. And once again today, our guide is the Apostle Peter. Pastor Gabriel Jima is coming to read an amazing story of Peter found in the book of Acts, chapter 10, verses 1 to 8. Hear the word of the Lord.
At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day, at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He asked. The angel answered, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa.
May the Lord bless the reading of his word to your heart today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, yes. Consider for a moment what this story is actually telling us. This is a story of a remarkable breakthrough in the life of a man named Cornelius and his entire family. The Bible tells us that God broke through to him and sent him an angel with a powerful and miraculous word. God told him, go and connect with Peter. This was a yes moment by a yes God. And the great news is that Cornelius responds with a yes. He immediately gets up and does what God says. He aligns himself. He found his promise and he obeyed the premise. And by doing that, he released God's power. By doing that, he activated, yes, faith. And Cornelius took a step of faith. He sent his soldiers to a place he didn't know to meet a man he'd never met, based simply on the word of God. And when he activated, yes, faith, he began to make this story about something bigger than himself. He went beyond his own ability, and it got a breakthrough, which is affecting you and I today. For you see, in this story, the gospel came to the Gentiles for the very first time in a significant way. This is not something that had happened ever before. Up to this time, Jesus and his disciples were preaching primarily amongst the Jews. But in this story, God comes down and says yes to people like you and I. The great news is that in all of this thing, he had all the components of a yes life, but this story tells us about aligning with yes people. See, Cornelius had yes faith. He had a yes word from God. He had yes accomplishments to goals to accomplish. But here we see he needed to tap into his destiny by connecting with a yes person. And in that fact, there's something we all need to learn. To get to your yes destiny, to live the yes life, God has someone he wants to bring into your life. To experience the yes life that God has for you, you have to align with yes people. There are people God wants to connect you with that will open doors for you and bring you into your yes destiny. But the critical component we need to all understand today is that in order to align with yes people, you have to be a yes person. In order for Cornelius to align with Peter, he had to follow the pattern and become a yes person. And if you'll become a yes person, you will see God bring yes people into your lives. For the Bible tells us in Amos 3:3, do two people walk hand in hand if they aren't going to the same place? So to align with yes people, we have to become a yes person. And to do that, we need to know the signs of yes people. And here's your first sign today. Yes people believe in others without bias. Take your pen and fill in the blank with the word believe. Yes people believe in others without bias. This is what we see in the life of Peter. Cornelius responds and aligns himself with a yes person, but he needed Peter to also respond. And that's what the Bible tells us in verse 23. The next day, the Bible says, Peter started out with them, and some of the believers from Joppa went along. Now, this might seem like just a simple statement inside this story, but there's actually a lot of significance in this one statement. For to understand how great this is, you need to know the situation and the context that Peter was facing. In those days, the Jews believed that they were God's holy people. They believed they were God's only holy people, and they believed it was a sin to mix up and mingle with people who weren't Jews. For Peter to go to Cornelius, for Peter to go to this city and begin to visit this man, it was something that went against everything he'd been taught. In fact, by going to visit a Gentile, Peter risked being excommunicated from the temple and even from his family. But even more than that, not only was Cornelius a foreigner, but he was a Roman. And the Romans were the people who had colonized Israel. They had oppressed Israel. They're the ones who had come in with power and might and military force and had put the people of God down under subjection. It's hard to describe the feelings of anger and bitterness and hatred in the hearts of most Jews against the Romans, and probably also in the heart of Peter. Peter was risking a lot to go to the house of a Roman soldier. But here's the good news. Peter said yes to God and no to racism. Peter said yes to Cornelius and no to bitterness. And you and I are here today worshiping Jesus Christ because Peter is a yes person and Cornelius was a yes person who aligned together to bring us the gospel. Peter had to overcome his own personal prejudice and anger and bitterness and criticism of the Romans to become a yes person. And the same thing is true for all of us. To believe in others without bias, we must overcome the obstacle of criticism. To be frank, we live in a society, in a day and age where criticism is ramped up to the highest level. Today, there's such division amongst us in every nation, politically, racially, religiously. People are so angry that they become violent when someone who opposes them speaks out. In fact, today, if you post something on social media that other people don't like, you can get death threats. Some of the insults being poured out on the radio and TV, even in our own Ghana, because of political disagreements, has passed the level of acceptability. We've got to understand today we live in a time and a day and age when criticism is taking hold of people and nations and destroying our unity. It's happening all around the world. But here's what you have to put on your keychain and carry along with you. In order to be a yes person, you have to look beyond the things that separate us and focus on the things that can bring us together. You have to look beyond people's faults and look at forgiveness. You have to look beyond the physical outward appearance and look into the spiritual realm. You have to move beyond criticism and become someone who believes in people. That's the lesson we can learn from the inspiring true story of a man named Johnny Barnes from Bermuda. You might not have heard of Johnny, but he's actually a very famous person. He didn't start out famous. He didn't start out rich or influential. In fact, he was just an ordinary person living in Bermuda, raised by simple parents. But his mother was a God-fearing person who taught Johnny to love everyone and be kind to them. Johnny started out as an electrician working on the trains. Eventually, he became a bus driver. But his really important work started when he retired from his salaried position. Way back in 1986, one day when Johnny was retired, he decided to put what he believed about people into practice. He'd been taught to love everybody, that everyone was valuable in God's sight. So Johnny Barnes got up one morning in 1986 at 5 a.m., and he went and stood at the Crow Lane roundabout on the main road leading into the capital city of Hamilton. And there Johnny stood and began simply to do one thing, to wave at everybody who passed and smile at them. His goal was to make everybody feel happy. His goal was to tell everybody, I believe in you. His goal was to tell them, I love you and God loves you. Now you can imagine at 5 a.m. on the main roundabout leading into the city, a man standing there waving and smiling. People thought he was mad. But day after day, from 5 a.m. to 10 a.m., rain or shine, cold or hot, Johnny Barnes would stand there waving and smiling and greeting people. He would hold up signs saying, I love you and God loves you. And gradually, his joyful spirit, his believing in people, began to make an impact. Some people would be driving to work angry at their husband and stressed about the day, and they would see Johnny, and in spite of themselves, they would break out into a grin. In fact, Johnny became so famous, tourists began to come from other places to visit Crow Lane Roundabout and see Johnny Barnes, because he greeted everyone, he loved everyone, he blessed everyone, strangers and people who looked like him and people who didn't. He smiled at them and blessed them. He believed in everybody. For nearly 30 years, Johnny Barnes stood 6 days a week at the Crow Lane Roundabout and waved at people and shared love. He became a Bermudian institution known as Mr. Happy. People who were sullen, people who were depressed, people who were lonely would break out into a smile when they saw Mr. Happy. When Johnny Barnes died, his funeral was live streamed around the world. The news was carried on major news organizations. They erected a statue near Crow Lane Roundabout dedicated to Mr. Happy. And today, millions of people have been inspired by Johnny Barnes, because that's the power of a yes person, the power of believing in others without bias. And that's what God has called each and every one of us to do. Listen to the word of God in 1 John 4. If someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. Tell your neighbor he's talking about you. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And he has given us this command. It's a command. Those who love God must also love their fellow believers. And here's the thing we need to understand this morning. The measure of true love is not how you love your family and friends. The measure of true love is not how you love the people who look like you or act like you or talk like you or came from the same place as you. The measure of our true love is how we love strangers and those who can't do anything for us in return. A true child of God loves everyone because God loves everyone. A true child of God believes in everyone because God believes in everyone. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 5, if you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors, even politicians do that much. If you're kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And if you want to please the Lord, if you want to live the yes life, if you want to reach your yes destiny, you have to base your connection not on chance, but on choice. It's chance the people you met in school. It's chance the families that you were raised around. But you can make choices to base your connections not on physical circumstances, but on spiritual connections. That's why Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, from now on, we don't think of anyone from a human point of view. We don't evaluate them by their race or their tribe or their language or their economic condition. Whoever is a believer in Christ is a new creation. We need to get serious. If I'm a Christian and you're a Christian, then we are brothers in Christ. I have more in common with every believer in this house than I do with my blood ancestors. Because if you're bought with the blood and I'm bought with the blood, that makes us blood brothers. And the blood of Jesus is stronger than the blood of my ancestors. If you believe it, say yes. My earthly family is only for a moment, but my spiritual family is forever. This isn't a sermon to me. I left my biological family for 37 years, and I am thankful to be associated with my spiritual family here at Agape House. Somebody say yes. But here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you. It is impossible to be right with God and wrong about racism. Racism is always wrong. It's wrong every day of the week and all day on Sunday. When you discriminate or have bias against someone because of the way they look or the way they speak or where they came from, it offends God. He commands us to love everyone, especially foreigners. Throughout the Bible, God told his people, treat foreigners well. Listen to Leviticus 19. Do not take advantage of foreigners in your land. Do not charge Obruni more than Obibini. Do not wrong them. They must be treated like any other citizen. Love them as yourself. Please turn your notes over to page 2 and consider if you charge a foreigner a higher price than you charge your Ghanaian brother, you're offending God. If you cheat a man because of his accent, you're offending God. I don't care if you're a white American or a black African or a brown Indian. If you mistreat a foreigner in your midst, you're offending God and God will judge you. If you're based and biased against someone because they're Ga or because they're Krobo or because they're Dagamba, you need to repent. If you refuse to allow your daughter to marry in a way, you need to repent. If you refuse to allow your son to marry a Ga woman, you need to repent. You're a racist. And every human being God has created was made in his image, white or black, rich or poor. Every one of us. How dare we say we love God and mistreat the kenke seller, the tro-tro driver, the houseboy. When we love God, we love what he loves. And the yes people God has for you can come from anywhere. You can't tell God who he can and cannot use to bless you. You can't tell God who to bring into your life. Cornelius had to put aside racial differences to call for Peter. Peter had to put aside racial differences to go and bless Cornelius. And when they did, God multiplied the blessing and the impact. And we are here today because they were yes people. And if you'll align with yes people, God will multiply and elevate his blessing in your life. If you'll become a yes person, God will take you where you never dreamed you would go. It will be higher and better than ever. And that brings us to our second truth today. Yes people boost others without begrudging. Take your pen and fill in the blank with the word boost. And listen to how our story continues. In verses 25 and 26, the Bible says that Peter went there. And when he got there, listen, as Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. Stand up, he said. I'm only a man myself. And here we see Peter not only believing in Cornelius, but now he's boosting him. When Cornelius goes to bow down before him, Peter says, no, get up. I'm only a man just like you. I want to elevate you. I want to boost you to be on my level. How we need this type of apostolic attitude in our church today. There are many pastors and prophets and apostles who see it as their goal to make their ministry elevate them. But when your ministry comes from Jesus Christ, your goal is to elevate other people. If you believe it, say yes. For the truth is, yes, people understand that we are all equal at the cross. Yes, people understand that God gives grace to the humble and he lifts up the lowly, but he opposes the proud. Yes, people understand that I don't elevate myself by pushing other people down. I elevate myself when we all boost one another. See, yes, people are connected to the yes God. And the yes God is always for people. The yes God is for everybody he's created. The yes God wants to bring salvation and redemption and peace and blessing and deliverance and prosperity to everyone he's created. That's why he sent his resounding yes, Jesus Christ, to come for all the world, for every nation, for every people, for every group. And anyone who follows Jesus will align with the yes God and be for people, whether they can help you or not, whether you know them or not. Godly people are yes people who boost others without begrudging. That's the lesson we could learn from the true story of a man named Christian Miracle. Believe it or not, that's his real name. His first name's Christian. His family name is Miracle. I tell you what, sisters, you need to start praying for a Christian Miracle. His family owns a company called Miracle Towing Company. Christian Miracle is a yes person, and true to his name, Christian became a miracle for someone last year. Last April, a 77-year-old woman was driving along an isolated road at night in Florida, USA. Suddenly, she lost control of her car, and the car went off the road and went through the forest and slammed into the bank of a river. Well, this poor, dear old woman didn't have the strength to open the door. The car was wrecked. She couldn't get the door open, and she didn't have a mobile phone. I mean, she was 77 years old. And so she sat there unable to get help, unable to get away, and she did what she knew to do. She prayed and said, God, send me a miracle. Just then, Christian Miracle, this is a true story, Christian Miracle was driving along that same isolated road. He looked up and saw flashing lights in the distance, and something inside him prompted him to stop and investigate. So he turned his truck around, parked, got out, went through the forest, went and saw this 77-year-old woman trapped in her car. He went and rescued her and towed her out of the river for free. He didn't take pesewa from him. Christian has a simple message for all of us today. Always be willing to stop and help somebody, he says. Just stop and help. Christian didn't know this woman. He didn't want money from her. He wasn't trying to benefit from her. He wanted to boost her without begrudging, because a yes person always looks to boost others. He could have viewed this as an interruption. He could have said, let somebody else help. But Christian understands what we all need to understand today. True love gives without expecting anything in return. True love helps people who aren't like you. True love doesn't just help family and friends. It helps strangers, those who are weak, those who can't help in return. That's why Jesus taught us in Luke 14, when you put on a luncheon or a banquet, don't invite your friends, brothers, relatives, and rich neighbors, for they will invite you back, and that will be your only reward. Instead, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Then at the resurrection of the righteous, God will reward you for inviting those who could not repay you. So let me ask you a question today. When was the last time you did something good for a stranger without expecting anything in return? See, when you're a yes person, you want to boost other people because yes people are for people. I think too often the church is known for what we're against when we should be known for what we're for. People say, oh, the church is against smoking. The church is against drinking. The church is against the gay lifestyle. And I understand we need to stand up and preach the truth so we can help deliver people from sin. But I think it's important that the church is known more for what we are for than what we are against. And I'm here to declare to you today that at Agape House, we are for people. At Agape House, we are for our nation of Ghana. At Agape House, we are for our community of East Legon. We want our community to be the best place to live in Africa. At Agape House, we are for our neighbors. We want our neighbors to have peace and prosperity. That's why we don't preach with a loudspeaker at 4 a.m. Hello! We are for everybody. We're for people we know and people we don't know. We're for the rich and the poor and everybody in between. We are for people. We're for our nation. We are for community. We want people to succeed and prosper and grow and become like Jesus. We are for other churches. We pray for other churches to be blessed and prospered. We're for groups like IJM that's having the Justice Concert tonight. That's why we're partnering with them. We're for the helpless and the poor, the children enslaved and trafficked on Lake Volta. We are for people because God is for people. And I want you to know today, we are for you. Maybe you came in here today thinking that nobody is on my side. Maybe you feel that nobody is at your back. Maybe you feel that nobody cares and nobody's encouraging you. But I want you to know today that God is on your side and I am on your side and this church is on your side. We've got your back and we're cheering for you like Miss Nigeria. Somebody say, yes, we're here for you. The problem with too many of us is that we don't boost others because we're so focused on our own blessing. We don't want to boost someone else because we're comparing ourselves to others. But to boost others without begrudging, we must overcome the obstacle of comparison. See, what's holding many of us back from being yes people is we're always comparing ourselves to others. We don't want anyone else to be boosted because we're afraid that if they come up, they will pass us and they'll get ahead of us. Many Christians today had been in Peter's shoes. We would have kept Cornelius at our feet. We said, go lower, go lower. We think that when someone is beneath us, it helps to elevate us. But here's the problem with comparison. When you compare yourself to others, you become discontent. Because no matter how many people are beneath you, there's always somebody above you. There's always somebody richer than you, happier than you, better looking than you, skinnier than you. Tell your neighbor he's talking about you. And that's the problem with comparing yourself to others. When you get into the habit of comparison, you fall into the hole of discontent. Because when you focus on what you don't have, you can't enjoy what you do have. You cannot live the yes life when you're always comparing yourself to others. You can't live the yes life when your prayers aren't answered. And God says if there's jealousy in your heart, your prayers aren't answered. Listen to James 4. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it. So you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You can't live the yes life when you're comparing. So here's the solution. Jesus taught us in Matthew 7:12, do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and prophets. And understand what Jesus says here. Do to others first, and then God will do to you. When you boost others, God boosts you. When you bless others, God will bless you. And that's our third sign today. Yes, people bless others without barriers. Take your pen and fill in the blank with the word bless. Listen to how our story concludes in verses 46 and 48. Then Peter said, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They've received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And here's what that means. Peter believed in Cornelius, so he went. He boosted Cornelius and ministered to him. But then he said, remove every barrier. Let him him have the same blessing I have. He baptized him and welcomed him into fellowship. He said, this is my goal, to bless you that you will have everything I have. In fact, Peter knew that God has called us to be a blessing to others. That's why later he wrote these words, don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a, say it with me, blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and he will grant you his blessing. Peter speaks to us across the centuries and says, God has called you to be a blessing. God has called you to bless other people. And when you bless other people, he will pay you back with your own blessing. We're called to bless, to be a blessing. That's why Galatians 3, 8 and 9 tells us God proclaimed this good news to Abraham long ago when he said, all nations will be blessed through you. Listen, so all who put their faith in Christ, all of us who are Christians, share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. What blessing did Abraham have? He had the blessing of being a blessing to others. The problem is we often want to withhold blessings because we think somehow if others are blessed, it diminishes our own bless. And to bless others without barriers, we must overcome the obstacle of competition. That's why Jesus taught us in Luke 6, 27 and 28 and 35, to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. Then your reward from heaven will be very great, and you will truly be acting as children of the Most High. Don't allow jealousy and comparison and competition to keep you from receiving the blessing of God. When you live to give, you become a yes person. When you bless others, you open yourself up for a reward in heaven and a blessing from God. And I promise you today, when you become a yes person, God is going to open up doors for you that you could not open on your own. He's going to bring yes people into your life and align you with them so that you can fulfill your destiny. That's the lesson we can learn from the true story of a Christian sister in the United States. Several years ago, this woman was a top sales executive, very successful in her career, but for some reason, the company she was working for decided not to renew her contract when her contract came due. So in spite of a successful career, she suddenly found herself without a job. She began to apply to different companies, only to discover that everywhere she turned, the answer was no, no. She kept praying, believing God, and eventually a company in another region called her for an interview. So one morning she got up, got a plane, went and flew to this other city. When she got to the airport, she hired a taxi to take her to the office for the interview. The taxi driver was a yes person. He wanted to believe in her and boost her and bless her. So he started asking her about her day. What was she doing in their city? The woman opened up to him and said, well, I've been out of work, but I'm really looking for a job. I really want to work, and I've been called for this interview at this company, and I just believe this is the place I'm to be. I really want to work here. And the taxi driver looked at her and said, I believe you're going to get the job. The woman dropped at the office, went for the interview, went about her day. Later that same day, the manager at the company who had interviewed this woman needed to fly to another city for a meeting. So she called a taxi to come and pick her to the airport. And the same taxi driver with the same taxi cab went to pick her up. When she got into the car, said, take me to the airport. He's a yes person, so he tried to find out about her day. How's your day? How's everything going? She said, well, I'll be honest. I've had a very difficult day because I have a tough choice to make. There's a position in our company for sales executive that's very vital, and I've got to fill it. Today I had an interview. One was with a man, one was with a woman, and I don't know who to take. The taxi driver said, take the woman. The manager said, well, what do you mean? How do you know? The taxi driver said, well, let me tell you what happened. This morning I picked up that woman at the airport and brought her to your office, and she told me she really wants the job. She told me that she's excited about working for your company. She told me that she's anticipating getting the job, and I know she's the right person. Take the woman. And the manager said, I've made up my mind. She dropped from the taxi at the airport, called the woman, and said, I'm giving you the job. And by the way, if you ever see that taxi driver, thank him. Thank him. See, When you become a yes person, God can bring people into your life who will open doors for you. He'll bring people to you that you couldn't bring on your own. He will connect you and align you with other yes people, and doors will begin to open. When you align with the yes God, when you begin to believe in others without bias and boost others without begrudging and bless others without barriers, God comes down and blesses you. And in this year of yes, God is going to put the right people in your life. I see him aligning people for contracts and visas and opportunities in your life. I see him aligning people who will cheer your success. I see him aligning people who believe in you, who will boost you, and who will bless you because the hand of God is upon their life. It's time to move to a new season. It's time to get rid of jealousy. It's time to put away competition and criticism and comparison. It's time to move into a yes realm where you align with the yes God. Realize that God is for you, and you become his agent to be for other people. When you come into agreement with God, you'll activate yes faith. You'll accomplish yes goals. You'll affirm yes words, and you will align with yes people by believing in them, by boosting them, and by blessing them. For when you're a yes person, nobody's no can compete with God's. Would you stand to your feet all across the auditorium? Let's rise and make our yes declaration for today. Lift up your hand and say after me, this is my year of yes.
This is my year of yes.
I will align with yes people.
I will align with yes
people. In 2020.
In 2020.
As I magnify Jesus in my life.
As I magnify Jesus
in my life. I am a yes person.
I am a yes person.
I will believe in others.
I will believe in others.
Without bias.
Without bias.
I will boost others.
I will boost others.
Without begrudging.
Without begrudging.
I will bless others.
I will bless
without barriers.
Without barriers.
Because I love Jesus.
Because I love Jesus.
I love others.
I love others.
I am living
living
the yes life.
The yes
Come life. On and give the Lord a round of applause.